Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
It's a pretty high accolade to be displayed alongside such Australian cultural icons as Don Bradman's bat or Ned Kelly's helmet. So the children's book, The Happiness Box, must, well, really be something special. And it is. Between 2005 and 2007, hundreds of thousands of Australians saw the original book with those other items as they toured the country in the National Treasures from Australia's Great Libraries exhibition. The little tale of the Happiness Box was made, written, I guess, in 1942, inside Changi Prison by a prisoner of war, Australian Sergeant, and later Sir David, or Griff, Griffin. Christmas was approaching and they decided they'd make a book for the children interned in the prison camp to chase away fear and inspire hope. Other prisoners made toys for the kids. Author Mark Greenwood and illustrator Andrew McLean have created a new version of the Happiness Box, which explains the story of that small attempt to bring some joy to the children in difficult circumstances, and also why the book went on to have an important place in history, both here and also in Singapore. Mark Greenwood is the author. Welcome to Open House, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Let's find out the story behind the book. So take me to 1942 and Christmas of that year.
1942 was a sad time for the Allied forces up in Singapore. The fall of Singapore, the jewel and the Allied crown had fallen, and a lot of the Allied soldiers, Australian soldiers and others, had been rounded up and taken to far end of the island of Singapore, and not only were they taken, but also women and children were taken as well, and they eventually ended up separating them. The women and children were put into Changi Prison, and the soldiers next door, and one of the fellows there, Sergeant David Griffin, conceived the idea that children were in prison at Christmas time and they had no presents, and he decided to do something about that.
So all of the fellows around him, they started making toys, but in fact, you tell the story in your account of all of this, that they modelled things like the Harbour Bridge, which must have been amazing. But David Griffin couldn't make things, but he could write.
That's right. He was always someone who loved books, loved reading. In fact, while the soldiers were in the early days of incarceration in prison there, he encouraged soldiers to read. He thought that reading would be a way to escape the misery of the conditions that they were in, even if it was just for a while, that their imaginations could take them beyond the walls of the prison. And so he was someone who loved books, loved writing, and eventually when the soldiers started to think about making presents for the children, he kind of thought, well, maybe I could write a book. And that's what he started to do. He started to write a book. And he thought that if he wrote this very simple, almost like a fairy tale, that the kids would be able to read the story and he would bury in that story the secrets to happiness.
Yeah, the book itself was called The Happiness Box.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So the plot of that book involved characters that were based on people, figures in the camp that the children knew, was that right?
That's right. Well, he'd seen soldiers working out there in the garden. One was a fellow called Wobbly Webster, and he became Wobbly the Frog. And so he used a lot of the people that he saw, and he modelled them as characters for the book. And basically, it was a story about a frog and a lizard and a monkey who went into the jungle lived in the jungle, discovered the secrets to happiness of being together, and at some point they found a box. And they wanted to know what's in this box, and they asked all the other animals in the jungle, and eventually they open the box and they find out that in that box are the secrets to happiness, which in the end of the story turn out to be books. So books and reading was always the big, the thing that he really wanted to the children to find out about. But he thought there were other things besides things that make you happy personally. He thought things like kindness and generosity were the important secrets that he needed to pass on to the children while they were in prison.
Now, I just want to dwell on this because it's an extreme irony. This is something like one of those Escher drawings, I think, when you start to pull back how this story works and how it turns out. So here we are at this point of history where David Griffin is in Changi prison camp. He's writing a book for the children in the camp. The book is to help them find happiness amidst their sadness, and one assumes that's a happy thing for him as well. The book is about finding happiness in hidden things, things that are tangible like books and things that are intangible like the kindness that you can offer for others. So it's an allegory, it's a fable. But then the fable actually comes true, in a sense, doesn't it? So the commandant of the camp, what happens when he finds out, when he goes to inspect these gifts that they're going to give to the kids? Because he'd said, you can make gifts for the children, but I'll have to inspect each of them first.
That's right. And he eventually had the inspection day and the toys were all fine. But what really raised his suspicions was that in this little children's book, The Happiness Box, that had been written, one of the characters was named Winston the Lizard. And Winston happened to be the name of the British Prime Minister. And immediately he flew into a rage, suspecting that this book contained secret codes. And through the avenue of a small little children's book, the soldiers were trying to smuggle out secrets from the prison camp. And so he flew into a rage, demanded that all the toys and the book was destroyed. And, of course, Sergeant Griffin almost blamed himself because that Christmas the children never received any presents. And he was never aware of the fact that secretly his friends had saved the book.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And eventually, you know, I talk to the kids these days about books and treasures, and because this year the theme of Children's Book Week is Find Your Treasure. And I talk to them about the fact that what do people do with treasures? How do they hide them? And the kids go, oh, they bury them. And I said, well, how do you think the Happiness Box book was hidden? And they go, oh, it's been buried. So, and the weird thing is, the irony of this whole thing that you're talking about now is true, because today the book exists, but it now is a national treasure. So it's regarded now as one of the national treasures of the great libraries of Australia. And so in the end, even though the kids never got to read the book and find out about the secrets that were in there back in 1942, now it's a treasure of Australia. And hopefully through my book, people will investigate it. And eventually those hidden treasures that Sir David Griffin wanted people to know about, they will be retold again, I hope.
Well, yes, and to deepen the irony more, the book, The Happiness Box, to be hidden and safe from the Japanese in the prison camp, they buried it in a box.
That's right, they buried it in a box, I know. And originally his story, you know, was The Happiness Box, and when these characters in his story opened the box, what did they find? They found a book. So there are so many little... I'm glad that you found those...
You couldn't script it better. I'm just trying to... I think Escher drawing is a thing, or if you look at two mirrors, one mirror behind you, and you look to infinity, it's one of those. It's a fractal. I just love the beauty of this book. Now, look, so it got back to Australia, and you've mentioned that it became a national treasure in this country. I love that it's also a national treasure in Singapore. That's interesting.
Well, in Singapore, I'm actually going up to Singapore in about 3 weeks' time. I'm speaking at the Asian Festival of Children's Content, and the Australian High Commissioner to Singapore, His Excellency Mr. Bruce Gosper, is launching the book, because the book actually has a connection between the literary history of Singapore and Australia. Because I mean, this is where the book was written. It's where the story began. And of course, we know that up there, the Changi Chapel and the museum is a place of deep respect for many people, but especially Australians who go up there and get to know and learn about what happened there. And for me, it's a really important story. It has a personal resonance as well, because my grandfather was a prisoner in Changi, and he went off to the Burma Railway, the Thai Burma Railway. So. Wow. So when I saw the book, and I being a children's author, and I find the story of a children's book written in Changi, and I know that my grandfather never spoke about what he'd gone through, but as I got older, I started to understand it. So for me, it was an important thing. It's dedicated to him, and wherever he is, I hope he knows that I think about him all the time now, and through this book, it's remained a very personal part of my life.
Oh, Mark, that's beautiful. Our guest is Mark Greenwood. He's the author of The Happiness Box, A Wartime Book of Hope. And this book is a children's book illustrated by Andrew McLean, which tells the true story of the creation of a book called The Happiness Box, which ended up in a box to be hidden from the Japanese captors. And it's just a remarkable story. So you've chosen to tell this story to a readership of, what, mid-primary years?
Yeah, I've been basically the book's sort of aimed at middle to upper primary, but the secrets to happiness that are hidden inside there are things that can be discussed with all ages.
Yes.
And I've been working, you know, book week or book month has sort of started with me this, you know, last couple of weeks. And in fact, yesterday I was working with the Year 9 students and talking to them about happiness. And the actual deep themes of it resonate with all ages, I feel. And, you know, what you're just saying there, you've picked up all these incredible connections between the original book and this book. I'm glad that you've seen those, because they were the things that made it so amazing for me when I first discovered the story.
Mm. Now, the original book itself was illustrated in the Changi prison with, what, watercolours, I suppose, was it? Or?
Well, they used the illustrator, which was Captain Greener. He used he ground up flowers, he used mud, he used all sorts of whatever he could get his hand on to create the colours in the book. In fact, the colours on the original cover, you can just see they're very faded, but you can see that they were probably quite bright when it was first when it was first painted and everything. And as I said, it was meant for the children, and it was meant to brighten their lives up. So I assume that you know, when it was first made, it would have been a beautiful looking book.
Where is the book now?
The original book is now a treasure of the National Library of New South Wales. So it's in the New South Wales State Library, and there it remains. And it was on tour a few years ago. Great Libraries of Australia did a tour of their amazing national treasures, and it travelled around the country with Ned Kelly's helmet and Sir Don Bradman's blazer, and, you know, many of the great, great treasures in Australian history. And here's this little one that just slipped under the radar. And, I love, my passion is Australian history, so I've written a book about Ned Kelly and you know, of course, Sir Don Bradman. Mm. But then I saw that little book, and it's just like, sometimes there are little slices of history that often slip aside, and they're the ones that I seem to be drawn to. I really liked finding those stories that need to be told and perhaps haven't been told. And to actually write a book about a book without telling what's in the book, that was a difficult challenge.
Yes, I'm sure it was. Just finally, Mark, what do you hope your young readers get out of your book?
Well, what I've been seeing just lately, because the book's only just come out and I'm only just sort of starting to talk about it with the kids, and what I'm seeing now is the kids looking at each other and I'm telling them, you know, what do you regard as the secrets to happiness? And they all have these ideas that make them happy. And I said, but if you're kind to someone, not only does that make the person that you're kind to happy, but it makes you happy as well. And if you don't have something and you share something with someone and you're generous, not only does the person that you're generous to be happy, but you're happy yourself. So I said the secrets to happiness really are not personal things. They're the sort of things that you can share and something that you can make both you and other people happy by. So I hope that they think a little bit deeply about this with, you know, with schools and issues of bullying and all sorts of things. I hope that maybe the kids just start to think a little bit deeper about those special things that make them happy.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, thank you for the work you do in opening history up to readers right around Australia. And thank you especially for this Happiness Box book. It's a beautiful book, and I hope it goes well for you. And thanks for speaking to us.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you.
Mark Greenwood, very well-known author of historical literature historical material, I guess, for younger readers, and his book, The Happiness Box, a wartime book of hope with illustrations by Andrew McLean. It's published by Walker Books, and it's well worth a look.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.